We all, myself included, heard a message on tithing. This is not and was not the most popular of topics. I only had one person ask for a copy of the CD, and I'm quite sure if anyone clicks on the sermon link on the website, after listening for just a few minutes, they probably left. I hope that all of you did, though, as I challenged you last week and tithed this morning. And there's still an opportunity as you're leaving to put money in the offering plate. Listen, God saved us to be givers. God saved us to be givers, not takers. Can I say that again, Brother White? God saved us to be givers, not takers. And you know as well as I, most churches are full of takers and very few givers. That's sad. And I'm talking about from every level, from work to ministry to tithing, I mean everything. It's sad. This morning I want to continue to preach about giving, but in a much different way. Let's look at Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John were going up together to the Capitol complex at the hour of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. And a man who was lame from his mother's womb, he had always been lame, was carried there and placed every day at the temple gate, called Beautiful, so he could beg those entering the temple complex. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple complex, he asked for help. Peter, along with John, looked at him intently and said, "Look at us." So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I have, church, but what I have, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up. And at once his feet and his ankles became strong. So he jumped up, stood and started to walk, and he entered the temple complex with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All of the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate at the temple complex. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had taken place, what had happened to him. While he was holding on to Peter and John, all the people, greatly amazed, ran towards them in what was called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you stare at us as though on our own power we've done this, or godliness? We have made him walk." Let's pray. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins again, asking you to steal our hearts, steal our minds, steal everything about us, Lord, that we might hear this message that you've laid on my heart. This isn't mine, this is yours. You've just loaned it out to me. So, Lord, I pray that you would hide me and you'd be seen. As this message is done, Lord, I pray that the people will praise you because of who you are. Lord, we love you. And it's so easy to say with our lips. God, let us say it with our actions. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Church, I want you to remember that the thought behind these sermons is what God does. When God does bless us, he doesn't bless us that we're blessings unto ourselves. God blesses us that we might be blessings unto others. Amen? Last week we saw what we're supposed to give back to God. Today I want us to see how we are to give to others. So it's adding up here, isn't it? We're supposed to give to God. That's non-negotiable. How much are we to give back to God weekly? 10%. Is it negotiable? No. Now we are told that we're to give to others. And we are to give to others. We are to be the salt and the light for this world to see that Jesus is a good, good Father. Amen? So how are we to give to others. Brother Kyle, I kind of saw it, but how is it that we're to give to others? Now, you might be sitting here today as you were last week saying, Brother Kyle, if you just knew the financial state I am in, you wouldn't be preaching these sermons like these sermons to me. Well, first of all, let me tell you that your financial state that you're in isn't because of God. It's because of you. The financial state that you're in right now, currently, has nothing to do with God, but all to do with the choices that you have made. Make good choices. Listen, I've told you this many times. I had an uncle, lived in a double-wide trailer in Horry County, South Carolina. He painted houses for about $8 or $9 an hour his whole life. He gave me this advice. He said, Kyle, he said, you're a Waddell, and some of that's good and some of it's bad. But he didn't stop there. He said, it's not how much money that you make. It's how you manage the money that you make. Man never made more than $10 an hour, and we got people screaming wanting to flip burgers for $15. You hear me? And he always had a pocket full of money. You know why? He managed his money well. So don't get on me about preaching on giving. Listen, you need to be a better servant to God, what God has given you. Amen? Now, but let me tell you this, is God has allowed me to go to two impoverished countries. If you live in the United States, you are rich. You are very rich. There are billions of people all over this world who would gladly change places with you in your present circumstances. The $38 that God allows me to give to a little girl in Uganda pays for her food, her education, her clothing, and her medical needs, and feeds her family. $38 a month. Well, God, that's a lot of money. $38. That's less than you pay for cable TV, internet service, and a telephone. And everybody's got a telephone. Right? God has called us to be givers, not takers. Now, how are we to give, church? How is it that we're to give? Look, turn with me real quick to Proverbs chapter 3. And if you don't have time to turn, I'll turn there and read it for you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. How is it that we're to give? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. When it is in your power, don't withhold good from the one to whom it is due. Don't say to your neighbor, go away, come back later, I'll give it to you tomorrow, when it is there with you. I have a few issues with this. You know, we're to give what we have when we have it to those in need. That's what this scripture is telling us. Did y'all see that? We're to give what we have when we have it to those who are in need. Church, can I tell you that this scripture has slapped your pastor's face several times? And it ought to slap all of our faces. What are you talking about? There have been times when I've been in my office, Stacy, studying, busy, and it's a Tuesday or a Thursday or late Friday, and there's a knock on the door. And there's somebody at the door wanting food. And I'm going to tell you, I'm totally transparent with you. I'm ashamed of this, but there have been a couple of times when they've come up and I've known that, you know, they've come earlier in the month and they've come and knocked on the door. And I said, look, you know, this is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's not today. And then 2 minutes later, Bob Amy will call. What you doing? I said, I'm trying to get some stuff done and just had somebody at the door, and they wanted food, and I told them it was closed, you know, it was Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from so-and-so time to so-and-so time. She said, you turned them away? Don't you love it when your wives do that to you, husbands? You turned them away, and you know what scripture she pointed to? The same one that I just read you in Proverbs chapter 3. If you have it, you're to give it right then. God blessed us to be a blessing unto others. Amen? So this scripture slapped me around. You know, now when somebody comes to the door, it doesn't matter how busy I am, God's placed them in my path. Amen? And we need to serve them. Is it always convenient? Absolutely not. Listen, God could care less whether it's convenient for us to give. He wants us to give in His time, not in ours. Tell you another way that this scripture's kind of slapped me in the face. And I know you self-righteous Christians. I know, listen, this affects you as well. Listen, I don't get a warm, fuzzy feeling when I see people sitting at an intersection with a sign saying, "I will work for food." I don't. There's been several times where I wanted to pull up next to them and you know, say, "Hey, listen, you come paint my house, I'll give you this biscuit." Yeah. You know, after all, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says, "In fact, when we were with you, this was our command to you. If anyone isn't willing to work, he should not eat." Need to send that one to our government, don't we? Scripture says, if you're not willing to work, you should not eat. This scripture gets all over me. Well, Brother Kyle, what are you to do? I'm going to get to that here in a second. Now, let me tell you another way this scripture's kind of slapped me around. And it has really to do with a lot of things that have happened this past week. I have a problem with refugees and illegals coming to America. I do. Giving them free health care, free food stamps, free government housing, free this, free that, free this. But church, if I were them, I would be trying to come into America too. And so would you. Don't sit there and thumb your nose and say, "Well, you know, that we ought to do this, we ought to do that." I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what we ought to do. But I know this. When they show up at our front door, we ought to do what God tells us to do. Amen? And what is it that He's told us to do? To love them. Because they belong to Him. They don't belong to our country. They don't belong to us. They belong to Him. Listen, here is the fact of this giving matter, church. If it is true that God blesses us, that we be blessing unto others, which I truly believe is true, then you are going to give when the Holy Spirit of God tells you to give. You are not called to be the giving police. We're called to be givers. Did you get that? I gave an illustration a few weeks ago about that deacon in my church that said, you know, we ought to ban all smoking on church premises and on the softball field and this, that, and the other. And I was like, that's a great idea. Who's going to police it? Look at the giving situation. God called us to be givers. When the Holy Spirit of God moves upon our heart to give, we are to give. We're not to police. "Well, this person doesn't look like me. This person doesn't dress like me. This person definitely doesn't smell like me. They're from a different country. They came here illegally. They came under the border. They don't speak my language. They can't read the writing on the door. They can't." God didn't call you to be a police officer. He called you to give. You know who hurt most after reading this and studying this? Me. Because we all have these impressions in our mind of what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. God clears this matter up for us pretty clear, doesn't He? We're to be givers. Not police givers. Amen? Now, I hope that you saw from Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 12, we have somewhat of a model for giving to others. Did you see it? Verse 1 and 2 tell us that Peter and John were doing what they were doing when they were interrupted with a person in need. Church, did you see what they were doing? Where they looked? Where they were... Were they out looking for people to help? No. Did it seem as if they were out on a personal mission to help somebody? No. Listen, Peter and John were just living. All they were doing was just living life. They were doing what they always did when a call for help arose. Church, we don't necessarily have to look to help and to give people. God is going to bring them to us if we will be givers. Now, watch this. Watch this. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. Let me find myself. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple complex, he asked for help. Peter, along with John, looked at him intently and said, "Look at us. Look at us." So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, I have neither silver or gold, but what I have I give to you. So, church, how did they know who to help? Who did they know to help? The one God placed directly in their path. Mary Beth, they were minding their own business, going about their daily life. And God placed somebody in need right in front of them. Now, what do we give people? Did you see it in verse 5 and 6? What is it that we should give? Let's read verse 5 and 6 again. Look at verse 5. So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." What is it that we give? What are we to give? We are to give what we have and what God empowers us to give. Let me say that again. We are to give what we have and what God empowers us to give. I can't tell you how many times that I've been out at Forsyth Park or, you know, just roundabout, and somebody somewhere has asked for something. We had just this past week. We had a guy come and knock on the door, and he needed a pair of pants. Well, he wore a size 32. Your preacher's not a size 32. Okay? Not a size 32. I don't have pants here. I don't have a size 32 at the house. So I have a need. Y'all with me? It never fails when there is a need how God supplies that need. Really. We have a young lady who's doing a backpack ministry for homeless, and she had a size 32. Imagine that. Isn't that amazing? Listen, last week I was down at the park, at Forsyth Park, the homeless ministry, and very unusual. This lady was, you know, I was walking around doing my chore, and I asked them if they needed anything. And the lady looked at me and she said, "You know, I need some envelopes. I want to write some of my family back home and let them know that I'm okay." She said, "Does anybody have any envelopes?" I mean, that's not something we typically carry down there. So I went to the resource table and I said, "Does anybody have any envelopes? We need some envelopes." And I said, "Well, we don't have any envelopes." And I went to Amy. I said, "Do we have any envelopes?" I don't have any envelopes. And she said, "You can go look in the car." She said, "I think you have some cards in there from the care ministry. There's some envelopes." Hey, listen, God supplies the need. Every single time, God supplies the need. What do you give to people? You give people what you have. When? Right then. Right then. To the best of your ability. And you're not to police it. You know those people that are holding the signs that saying we'll work for food? Give them a couple bucks. What's it going to hurt you? What's it going to hurt me? Listen, if they're leaving that job and they're going inside and washing their hands and washing their face and putting on their suit and getting their BMW, listen, that's between them and God. It ain't between me and him. Right? Church, we're to give what we have. And we're to give what God empowers us to give. Now, verse 7 and 8 tells us what happens when we're willing to give what we have. Listen, you might not see the same reaction that Peter and John saw. The man was leaping and happy, and he was just overjoyed. We might not see that reaction that they saw this day. But church, when we give to others, it may very well be that it's a miracle that they've been praying for. Do you realize that? Right now, all over the world, people are praying to God to meet a need. Miss Edie, am I lying? Lisa, am I lying? People are praying, "God, please meet this need." And if we as givers will be vessels that God created us to be, to do naturally what we should be doing naturally, it should come naturally to us to be givers. When we give that thing that's insignificant to us that we give because we have it or God supplies it, it is the prayer that they've been praying. And you know what happens when they receive the prayer that they've been praying? It's called a miracle. God has allowed you to be a part of a miracle. That's amazing. That's God. But you know, it seems like the older I get, the stingier people get. Really. Now, I'm cheap. I'm not stingy. There's a difference. Cheap is good. Stingy is bad. Am I right? Am I okay, honey? Is that cheap? I'm not cheap with you. Now, verse 9 and 10 tell us that when we give to others, it will become known to people and they will be drawn to the givers. Have you ever noticed that how people are drawn to those who give abundantly of their time, their abilities, their talents, and financially? They're attracted to them. Why? Because there's something different about them. There's something unique about them. They're drawn to them. All these people, when they saw what Peter and John did through the power of God, they rushed the colonnade. Now get this picture. We're just about done. We're getting ready to go eat. Listen to me. I'm getting ready to draw all this together. There's a purpose. When you are what God called you to be, and that is a giver, you are supplying a need to somebody who is praying to receive a blessing. And when they receive that blessing that you give to them because God empowered you, listen to me, it becomes a miracle to them. They are drawn to the person who is a giver, and really they're drawn to God. Now, guess what happens when they're drawn to God? See, this is what happened at the colonnade. This guy was lame from birth. From birth. When Peter raised him up and he started walking, he went to the colonnade. All these people started talking. They were gossiping. Yeah, they gossiped back and out. You got to come see him. And they ran to the colonnade, and Peter said, look at this. Brother Frankie said, look at this crowd. Now, what can I do with this crowd here? What can I tell this crowd? What can I initiate here? Well, let's look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 is the reason every person who calls himself a Christian should be givers. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, when Peter saw this great crowd, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or godliness we were able to make him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. What did you just hear? You heard the gospel. Did you catch that picture? When you give what God has given you and you give what God empowers you to give, somebody's praying. They're receiving that miracle. And it is a miracle. Now they're intent to listen to what you have to say. And listen, there's a crowd around you. And what you need to do, and when they look at you and say, how did you know? How did you know that I need this? You know what you do? You preach Jesus. That's what you do. God opens a door of opportunity to do what He's called you to do. So in essence, being a giver is all about the gospel. It's all about the gospel, Mr. White. It's all about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, a giver is attentive to who God sets before him. They see the person who's set before him and understand that God set him there. So a giver sees the person that God sets before him. He is receptive to the Holy Spirit speaking to him. He is willing to sacrifice that others might have. He is used to meet needs that have been prayed for. When those needs are met, a miracle takes place, and then the gospel not only is preached, but it's received. That's a good word. Let me ask you a question. Are you a giver? Are you a giver? The church is full of either givers or takers. Now, if we had, you know, those little stickers when you go to these events that's very uncomfortable and you don't know people and you have to put, hey, my name is Bob or my name is Fred. But if you had to come down here in a few minutes and there were two stacks and one says, hello, my name is giver. Hello, my name is taker. Which one would you have to put on? Are you a giver or a taker? Listen, you can be a giver. Open your eyes and pray that God will open your heart. This isn't a mind issue. Church, this is a heart issue. Every time the offering plates go by you, it's not a thing about financially. It's a heart issue. If your heart's right with God, you can't not give. When you're out and about and you see somebody in need, listen, if you don't give, it's not an intellectual or a financial. It's a heart issue. Are you a giver or a taker? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, I pray that you'd open the hearts of every person who's in here to do a self-evaluation of themselves right now and to see whether they're givers or takers. Now, God, I pray that you would impress upon those who are givers to continue to give. We can't outgive you. We cannot outgive you, God. But those who are takers, God, I pray that you would just touch their hearts. Help them to see that they need to step up, not only financially, but spiritually, intellectually, scripturally. We need to stand in the gap. Lord, not for ourselves, but the gospel might be proclaimed and received. We're running out of time, Lord. Help us to be your vessel. Lord, I pray that you would move during this time of invitation, that you would bring us to your knees where we belong. In Jesus' name, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, nobody looking around, if you need to come, the altar's open for you.